This morning we're going to look at Elijah, the life of Elijah. So we're not going to look at one specific bit of text and then look at that verse by verse, but we're looking at 1 Kings 17, that we're going to read now, the first verses, and then later on we will be looking at chapter 18 and 19. So I will read now from 1 Kings 17, verse 1 to 7. Now Elijah, the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word." And the word of the Lord came to him, "Depart from here and turn eastwards and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. You shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and lived by the brook Cherith, that is east of the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And after a while, the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. In my work as a speaker, I often talk about there is warnings in life and there is examples in life. So the warnings in life are the people that you look at and you think, wow, I definitely don't need to do that. And sometimes we have examples, maybe people that we look at and we say, well, that is definitely something that I need to do. And the great thing with the Word of God is that it is full of warnings and examples. And last year I preached on Peter. Peter was one of these warnings and examples that we can learn so much from. He lied 3 times about knowing Jesus. And only weeks later, he was exalted to be the foundation on which God built his church. Peter got a second chance. And the same for us. We need second chances. And when I was talking about this in the prison recently, I had a prisoner who asked me, he said, "But I need more than a second chance." And that's the great thing with God. He gives us another chance. Now today we are looking at Elijah. And whether you have heard a lot in your life about Elijah, or maybe today is the first time, this prophet is probably one of the most dramatic prophets of all time. Because if you just look at what he did, he prophesied about drought. No rain, he said. And for 3.5 years, there wasn't any rain. Later on, we will be looking at fire from the sky to burn the offering. So if there would have been Facebook in those days, I think Elijah would have gone viral. Because people were talking about him. But Elijah was also very human. Elijah had good days, very successful days, but he had also pretty low days. And maybe I caught you here on a bad day. Maybe I caught you on a bad time in your life where you're totally down and you're wondering, where is God? Why is he not listening to my prayers? Why is he not giving me any change, a bit of positive change in my life? Well, whatever it is, whether it's a good day or a bad day in your life, bear with me, because this morning we see that God, that people are fickle, but God is faithful. So let's look at this bit of the life of Elijah and see what God wants to teach us through it. And the first point is that success can be the seed of discouragement. Now we're seeing here the highs and lows of life, and clearly Elijah was on a high point at his life. Now when we're talking about success, especially in the industry that I'm in, success is often described as having a big business or having a lot of money. You can follow these workshops, 6 steps to success, or the 5 keys to a successful business. But when the Bible talks about success and what we see here with Elijah, that is a different type of success, because that is a success with God. So the first thing we see, if we turn to 1 Kings 18, the first verse said, after many days the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the 3rd year, saying, go, show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the land. So Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria too. So what we see here is, well, what are Elijah's successes? Well, the first thing is that God chose to use Elijah. We see that in these verses. After many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the 3rd year, saying, go, show yourself to Ahab. So how great is it when God calls you? When God chooses you? I remember the time that when I was playing football in the street or at school, and people had to be picked in a team, well, you never wanted to be chosen as last. Not sure if you have any traumas about that, but when you were last, that was pretty bad. Especially when they said, well, all right, I'll have you then. And you ended up probably in the worst team. We like it to be chosen, but God chose Elijah. Now, the second success is that Elijah boldly obeyed God. And we see that in verses, chapter 18, verse 17 and 18. So God says to Elijah, go to Ahab. Now, if you look a little bit at the history of Elijah, Ahab had tried to kill Elijah. He had been going to different nations and kingdoms just to find Elijah, to kill him. He was done with Elijah. And then God asks Elijah to go to this Ahab. So you need to be pretty bold to go to the king that actually has been searching country and kingdoms to kill you. But he goes there. And then we read in verse 17 and 18, when Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, is it you, you troubler of Israel? And he, Elijah, answered, I have not troubled Israel, but you have, and your father's house, because you have abandoned the commandments of the Lord and followed the Baals. Now that is bold obedience. And the conversation is pretty frank. Ahab said, is it you, you troubler? Finally, are you there? The one that is causing me all these problems. But Elijah said, I have not troubled Israel, but you have, and your father's house. And then Elijah sets Ahab a challenge. Let's organize a showdown between the Baal and the God of Israel. And that's what happens in verse 19. Now therefore send and gather all Israel to me at Mount Carmel, and the 450 prophets of Baal, and the 400 prophets of Asherah, who eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab gathered all the prophets, and they went to Mount Carmel for the big showdown. And then what we see in the next verses is that these prophets are trying all sorts of things. They're running around, they're dancing, they're shouting, they're cutting themselves. But obviously, nothing happens. Now, the next success of Elijah is that Elijah boldly believed God. Because if you read what happens in verse 36, we see that, and at the time of the offering of the oblation, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. Now that was boldly believing, because in the verses before, Elijah had said to the people, pour water over the altar, make the wood net wet. And they poured so much water over it that there was even a stream around it. Well, I'm not sure if you've ever been camping and tried to make a fire, but you don't want wet wood. That doesn't go very well. And we see here that Elijah doesn't want to do any tricks. He wants to make sure that everybody knows that this offering is done by the Lord. So he boldly believed God. Pour extra water over the wood, make it wet. And more water and more water. And here Elijah is, and he prayed those words we just read. Elijah believed when he prayed those words. And Jesus is often saying to his disciples about their unbelief. When he says, if you had the belief of a mustard seed, you could have told this mountain to move. And when Peter was sinking in the water, when he walked towards Jesus, again there was this unbelief. But here Elijah boldly believed that God would show his power. So how is that with our prayers? When we pray, do we believe that God can give us what we pray for? When we pray in times of illness, do we actually believe that God can heal us? When we suffer and pray for relief, do we trust that God can give comfort? Well, Elijah is boldly believing here when he prays. And the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Wow. And the people fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Now, that is success. That is success according to what God calls success. And then we see in verse 41, and Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of the rushing of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he bowed himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now, look towards the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And at the seventh time he said, behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising from the sea. And he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you. And in a little while the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he gathered up his garment and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. And that is the fourth success of Elijah. God strengthened Elijah. This rain comes hammering down. I don't think we can even imagine what kind of rain that has been. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And Elijah gathered up his garment and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Israel. Now the Lord strengthened him. Because you can imagine that Ahab the king had a pretty fast chariot. He wasn't riding in a cart with a donkey. He had the fastest model with the fastest horses. And Ahab and Elijah was running ahead of him to the entrance of Jezreel. So when we're talking about success, according to God, then we're talking about that God is choosing us. It is about obeying God when He calls us to do things. It is about believing God when we pray to Him. But it's also being strengthened by God. Now, you can imagine that by now Elijah was on cloud nine. Fire from heaven, the rain had come down. The people had turned back to God. And sometimes you might have heard about an assumption that I sometimes hear, which is, well, I call it a success assumption. That when things are going fine, they will continue to be fine because we obey God. Now, that is a wrong assumption. That is a wrong assumption. But Elijah made that assumption because he thought all was good now. He assumed that everything was fine. But then we read in chapter 19, in the first four verses, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid, and he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." Do you see what just happened? Elijah faces the king that had been hunting him down, wanted to kill him. He faces the king and he says, "No, I'm not the troubler, you are the troubler." He wins the showdown with the prophets of Baal. He runs ahead of Ahab's fast chariot. And now this same Elijah runs for his dear life. That looks like our life sometimes. That looks like an emotional roller coaster. One day on a high and the next day running for your life. Can you relate to that? Do you have days that you want to conquer the world for God? That you want to share the gospel with everybody around you? But the day after, you are knocked down and you're wondering what life is all about. And maybe on Sundays, you go home thinking, being very encouraged by the services. But then Monday, reality hits you again. And you're on an all-time low. Do you have days that you just want to crawl back in bed under your own broom tree? Now Elijah is clearly disappointed here. He is clearly discouraged. But our disappointments are often in our own assumptions. So what we see now is that discouragement can also be the seed of success, because clearly Elijah is discouraged. Now, if we look at disappointment, what is disappointment? Disappointment is when our expectations are not matching the reality of what we see. And Elijah is so disappointed with himself, with life, with God, with Ahab, with Israel, that he even comes to the point where he says, "God, please let me die." But I think we have a massive lesson to learn here. And that is that our disappointment in ourselves does not equal God's disappointment in us. So our disappointment in us does not equal God's disappointment in us. And I was looking in the Bible for a good example. And I think the prodigal son is an excellent example. You probably heard about the story. The son asked for his inheritance, left his father's house, spent it on parties and all sorts of things. But then when he ran out of his money, he had to tend the pigs, try to steal some food from them to eat. And then he thought to himself, the servants of my father's house are better off than me. So let's go back and become a servant. And then he returns home, falls on his knees before his father and says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Sometimes we are so disappointed, so discouraged in ourselves that we just think, well, we're not good enough. But then what does the father say? He says, bring the best robe. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Get the calf. Because that is how the father, that's how our father sees us. Yes, we mess up. And that's why we need to repent. That's why we need to pray for forgiveness. But then he looks at us. Calvin said, he looks at us through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he sees a perfect us. Because God looks beyond your mistakes. He looks beyond your shortcomings, beyond your frailty, beyond your poor decisions. And of course, we have always people around us that will tell us otherwise. Even our own brothers and sisters. Look at the brother of the prodigal son. What did he say? Why does he get a ring? He should be a servant. So how are we responding to our brothers and sisters when things are not going right, when people make wrong decisions? I was in the prison this morning with daylight here in Chelmsford. And I hope that God is using me and the others that go in to be a tool in his kingdom. But even if I do not help a single person in that prison by going in there, I know that one person is helped every time. And that is the one walking out again, and that's me. Because it teaches me to look at people as Jesus did. He didn't see their broken and sinful past, but he saw their glorious future. And that is how God looks at us. And if you can't grasp all of that, that's okay. Just trust and believe that he is God. So Elijah said, it's enough. Now, O Lord, take my life and let me die. And God said, excuse me? You want to die? So Elijah was broken down. He was alone. He was miserable. And how did God respond? Well, first we see that in 1 Kings 19, verse 5 to 8. And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you. And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. So Elijah is lying there. He wants to die. And what does God say? He nourishes Elijah. He feeds him. And it's the same with us. Whenever we run away from God, he does not abandon us. He finds us. And he nourishes us. We are unconditionally loved. by God. What else does God do? He connects with Elijah. And we read that in verse 9 to 14. So at Horeb, there he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life so to take it away." And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." Yes, sometimes God will let us get alone, but he will never let you stay alone. He will find us. No matter if we run away from him, he will find us. And he asks Elijah a question, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And remember, when God asks us a question, it's not for his benefit. It is normally for the benefit of who he asks the question. And sometimes God connects with us in a different way than we had expected. Elijah had seen God in the fire. He had seen God in the rain, in the thunder. And maybe he was expecting to meet God again in the same way. But God came in a low whisper. In the footnote, it says, a sound, a thin silence. That is the complete opposite of heavy rain and thunder and earthquakes. And it shows again that we do not decide how God works. And we need to be careful to think how God works. Because our limited perceptions of him sometimes limit how we see him and what he truly is. God showed Elijah at the showdown on the Carmel with fire and heavy rain. But now he shows that God can also be in a low whisper, in a thin silence. And the last thing that God does to respond to Elijah is that he sends Elijah back to ministry. In 1 Kings 19 verse 15 and 16. And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimzi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, and of Abel-Mehola, you shall appoint to be prophet in your place." Elijah is sitting there lying. He wants to die. But God nourishes him and sends him back into ministry. And God says the same to us. There wasn't any excuse for Elijah. And so there is no excuse for us. So whether we think we are not qualified, whether we think we are not equipped, whether we think we're not good enough, or not holy enough, or maybe not sufficient, don't think short of what God can do in your life. Like I said, he took Peter, who lied 3 times, and made him the apostle on which he built his church. And he can and will use you in his kingdom. And remember that God wants to nourish you too. He wants to nourish you through his word. But in order to do that, you need to read it. So is Bible reading part of your daily diet? Because yes, we're eating three times a day to feed the body. But are we feeding our spirit by feeding on God's word? He wants to nourish us through our prayer. But then we need to pray. And do we pray with believing hearts that God will do what is right? And he also wants to nourish us through his people, through his church. But then you need to meet those people, whether it's here when we're meeting or maybe outside. Make sure that you nourish each other, that you remind each other of his promises. And I pray that his Holy Spirit is upon all of you to build his kingdom here in Chelmsford or wherever he calls you to go. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Elijah, we thank you that you nourish us through your word, that you've given us your word as a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And Lord, we pray that with the words that we've heard about Elijah, where you nourished him, where you strengthened him, but where he also hit a wall, where he got discouraged, that again you strengthened him and sent him back into ministry. Lord, we pray that we can relate to these words in our own lives. We pray that whether we are under the broom tree or maybe on cloud nine, we pray that we realize that we are working in your kingdom. And therefore, Lord, we pray that you help us to see where we can work in your kingdom, where we can share the gospel with those around us. And Lord, we pray that when we go from here, that we are strengthened and nourished by your word, that we are strengthened by the prayers that we have sent up to you, and that we are nourished by meeting here together with fellow brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that you go with us, and we ask you to hear this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.